Listen to this roster report to find out important updates on who else has been signed to the Pats and who's returning from IR. Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and it's a beautiful day in spring here at Gillette Stadium on March 31st. You're listening to The Roster Report, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. On today's show, you can listen to Brian Lowe, Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, and Andy Hart talk about the most recent roster, including players that are returning from IR.
Thanks, Laurie. Welcome back to Patriots Roster Report for Friday, the last day of March. Not a ton of roster news to talk about since last Friday. A couple of re-signings by the Patriots, and they were relatively minor. Heath Evans and Gus Scott have re-signed. Now, in the case of Heath Evans, he was an unrestricted free agent, came to the Pats in the middle of last year and performed pretty well for a couple games and battled a few injuries. And then in the case of Gus Scott, a little bit of an unique case because he was a third-round draft pick 2 years ago, but ended up signing just the structure of his contract was really just a one-year deal, and the Patriots had his rights last year, re-signed him, had his rights again this year, and re-signed him. So Heath Evans and Gus Scott back in the fold. Now, nothing really big to report in terms of any other comings and goings, so I guess what we're going to try to talk about today, especially since Gus Scott is one of those re-signings, is guys who were an injured reserve last year and what their status might be this time around. And we've got Andy Hart, Tom Casale, and Paul Perillo. I guess we'll start with Gus Scott because he's a little bit of note this week. Two extremely injury-prone seasons. Is there hope for him to not just make the roster but maybe make an impact this year?
Well, I don't know about an impact, but I think there's a hope to make the roster. I think he's a guy that they've liked for periods, short periods of time when they've had to work with him on the football field, and just two serious knee injuries kind of took him out of the mix. Because of that, I don't think you count on him to do anything, but you still go into it with an open mind and say he had two severe knee injuries. If he can stay healthy, if he maintains the speed and athleticism that he had and the reasons we drafted him, that maybe he's a possibility for depth.
Yeah, I think 2 years ago, as a rookie, I think they liked what they saw of Gus Scott in training camp. And we remember at the time, Rodney was coming off an injury from the Super Bowl, and Eugene Wilson as well. So during training camp, he was actually getting a lot of reps, with some of the frontline guys. And I think they were intrigued by his, his athleticism. And I'm not sure if he sort of took the next step last year. Now, it's difficult because he missed his entire rookie year with the knee injury that he suffered during a preseason game in Cincinnati. So last year he got a chance to play when Rodney went down, and I think the results were spotty at best. I don't think that he performed particularly well, and that became kind of the theme of the year. And as we're talking right now, Brian, about the guys last year on injured reserve, because that strong safety spot I think needs to be addressed, and it was a revolving door last year.
Yeah, in the entire defensive backfield, which seems to be a recurring theme around here, there were six guys who went on injured reserve from the defensive backfield alone last year. And real quickly, aside from Gus Scott, it was Chad Scott, also Randall Gay, Rodney Harrison, Tyrone Poole, and Dwayne Starks. Poole and Starks are out in Oakland right now, but let's switch gears to some of these other defensive backs. Specifically Rodney Harrison, obviously he's the marquee guy. Where do you guys think he is in his rehab, and do you think he'll be the Rodney Harrison of old at the beginning of this year or any time?
I don't think he's going to be the Rodney Harrison of old. He said it himself, when Willis McGahee suffered the injury, he was 20. I think he's going to come back, he's going to do what he can, but at his age, there was some talk around the league he was losing a half a step here and there anyway. So with this injury, I think that's really going to hurt him. And as far as Gus Scott goes, I'll go on record as saying he is not the answer.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if anyone's claiming he'd be the answer.
Well, he's going to have to struggle to make the roster.
Okay.
Is he stepping on Bubba Ventrone's toes?
Oh, your new boy from the...
I think he struggles covering tight ends, and I didn't see much from him in run support, so... That's just my two cents.
Well, he's good friends with newly signed wide receiver Rishe Caldwell, so I don't think that's going to help him necessarily to make the roster. A couple of the other guys at cornerback, Randall Gay, who much like Gus Scott has sort of had some injury problems in his 2 years here, but he was much not too heralded. I mean, he was an undrafted free agent. And then Chad Scott, the team decided to re-sign a veteran free agent, and he was a free agent last year. They signed him to a one-year deal. He's back again. Those two guys, I mean, are they? Do they add depth? Do we look at those two guys as roster locks? Do we look at them as guys who can contribute this year?
I think they add depth. I think the similarity would be they both can play a little safety, a little cornerback. Chad Scott, obviously, far more experienced. The question with Randall Gay, and you mentioned it, not just his years here, but going back to college, mm-hmm. he had injury problems.
And that's why he was...
Right. He wasn't able to play. That's kind of how he ended up as a rookie free agent. But you look at him in his build, I know the Patriots really asked him to put on a lot of weight last offseason to try to give him a little more size, strength, durability.
Right.
Didn't necessarily work out. And I think that's a major concern with him. So I would say Scott might be a better option, just the position flexibility, the experience to bring some depth there.
And as we're talking about cornerbacks and defensive backs, because there's so many on injured reserve, some of the guys who are on this team who I guess at this point are healthy, Asante Samuel, Ellis Hobbs, Eugene Wilson, some of their top of the depth chart guys. What is it about the secondary? Is there something to be said about the fact that a lot of guys from the secondary go on injured reserve, have injury problems? Is it a coincidence? And is there anything the team can do when they're building their team in the offseason to try to get more durability at that position?
I mean, I would have thought last year in the offseason they did exactly what any team would have wanted to do to make sure that that didn't happen again.
A lot of experienced guys, too. Yeah, they did.
And I'm not saying they went out and signed, the top flight, Nate Clements or Chris McCallisters, but, to bring in, a guy like Chad Scott and they traded for Dwayne Starks, they just didn't work out. Either the guys didn't play well like Starks or, guys like Scott, Randall Gay gets banged up. They set themselves up, I thought, last year to be as deep in the secondary as you could be. And yet again, at the end of the year, you had Troy Brown getting reps, in the last game, the JV game against Miami. You even had Bam Childress getting reps in the secondary. And if someone had said that during training camp, I never would have thought it, based on the amount of acquisitions the Patriots made. So who knows how many is enough?
Yeah, I think you got to think that's just a coincidence that all the guys at the same position get hurt like that.
Yeah.
Well, I think the only thing you can they play a pretty physical style.
Right.
And the more you bang when you're a 178-pound guy,
smallish guys,
the better chance you have.
Gay.
The better chance you have of getting hurt. And so you're going to need some bodies
back
there.
Gay got hurt just on a cover and a pass.
Right. Yeah.
Three other guys who ended the year on injured reserve that I want to bring up. Two of them are pretty big on the offensive line. Center Dan Copen, left tackle Matt Light. They both went down. Light was pretty early in the year, third or fourth game, and Copen kind of in the middle of the season. Any idea where things stand with those guys? Are there concerns about their long-term health, or do we think that they'll be able to be plugged right back into their regular starting roles?
Oh, I think there's concerns. I mean, Paul, you know about Light, or Andy, one of you knows.
We both know everything.
I know that.
They know
I agree.
Ask them if they know it.
Have some concerns about Light.
Well, I have concerns about both of them. Light is on the record recently in his hometown newspaper saying he's fine, he's ready to go. But we heard that he had a second procedure to deal with circulation issues, one that he had late in the year and then one this offseason. Not long ago was on crutches. So it clearly didn't respond the way they wanted, or they wouldn't have left him on the roster for so long. And then to have it continue into the off season, I don't think you can just assume, okay, day one training camp, he's ready to go, left tackle, boom. And then the same thing with Copen. I mean, he had a very serious shoulder injury, leaving a scar that is nauseatingly large across his back. And I think it's dangerous to just assume that he's going to step right back in and fill his normal role. That said, I don't think he was a power guy that the strength was his number one attribute. I think his smarts and body positioning and all that play a bigger factor, but you still have to have some questions.
You sure do. And one other guy that I want to bring up, sort of an intriguing name, Ryan Claridge. And he started the year in an injury reserve, ended the year in injury reserve, obviously, a draft pick in the fifth round last year. And at linebacker, is he a guy that, any idea if he's a guy that can contribute? And certainly he's not a guy that's going to alleviate any linebacker concerns. We don't know what he can contribute. But, he's a guy who was drafted last year out of UNLV. What do you guys know?
I think he would basically be for depth.
Yeah.
I don't see him coming in and playing, right now. It would be more for depth.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that he has some potential down the road.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that, not being here last year, he's not really in year two because he disappeared after he went on IR. So it's not like he was even in every meeting or any of that. So I think he's still a young guy that they liked. So they drafted him. He has the background where he played a little 3-4 in college at UNLV. So he's still a guy you can build on, but he's certainly not going to step in and fill Willie McGinnis shoes or I don't even think pass up anybody on the roster to maybe be Matt Chatham in terms of a backup. So, you know, he wasn't here, so he's intriguing, but not much beyond that.
Well, we're about 3 weeks into the free agency at this point, and still the only major, there's been no major signings. The only signing at all is Richie Caldwell. Before we come back next Friday, do you guys anticipate anything big happening in this team over the next 7 days?
No,
nothing big.
Nothing big. Nothing minor.
Well,
anything minor?
Why not?
Well, what's it going to be? Do?
I'm not saying there is going to be anything, but why would we anticipate there not being anything?
I'm not necessarily anticipating that there won't be something, but I'm not anticipating that there will be something.
When you say big, you're talking about
there's
a
really
big
no one
name.
Left, right? I mean, Eric
Arrington?
Moles would really be the
oh,
only
you
guy.
Mean just in terms of, like, it has to be a big-time guy?
Yeah, like a okay. big signing.
Heath Evans doesn't do it for me.
No, I'm talking about signing a free agent, not re-signing a player.
Exactly. Anyone
called? They may sign an Eric Warfield.
Right.
And we can talk for 10 minutes about that.
Okay, well, regardless of what they do over the next week, we will be back next Friday with the Patriots roster report. We'll also be here on Tuesday with the Draft Prospect Review podcast here on Patriots.com. So that is going to do it for today's roster report. Back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. That's all for today's roster report. Come back next Friday to hear all the updates. And remember, now you can listen to the Draft Prospect Review. The next show will be on linebackers. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!